good to be with those who are interested in the Lord. And I trust that your heart will continue to be blessed. I don't want to ever give the impression that our service only begins when we start preaching and turning to the Word. That's just a portion of a service that is designed to honor and glorify the Lord. We gather together in His name to sing and to praise Him and to worship and to share one with another what God is doing. You know, Hebrews 10:25 says, "Not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together, as the manner of some is." Don't you love the way your memory fails you when you need it the most? "Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another." That's encouraging, is what exhorting means. "And so much the more as you see the day approaching." There are a lot of people who think that the day for organized church attendance, it's past. There are many churches who feel that the day is past for a church to have an evening service like we have is past. We don't believe that. And one of the things that we have in our service that I think is an important feature in our Sunday evening service is the testimony time. Because when one testifies of God's working and His reality in their lives, number one, it glorifies the Lord. Number two, I believe it encourages others who are sitting and listening that may be going through difficult times, that may need to hear, "Boy, you know, that reminds me of just something that I'm going through, and how good it is that God answered prayer for them. Lord, I'm going to keep trusting You." That's what encouraging, exhorting one another is about. Telling one another what God is doing. Encouraging one another. Don't jump ship. Don't give up. God is real. We can trust Him. And it's a good time. And I just thank the Lord that we have those here tonight. And we had that opportunity to meet like this again this evening. Let's look to Him in prayer. And as we turn to His Word, let's ask the Lord to speak again to our hearts. Thank You, Father, for the truth of Your Word. I pray tonight that You would just really enable me to share the truth of Your Word, and may Your Spirit make His impact on our hearts through even the subject that we consider this evening. We want to give You the praise, the thanksgiving, and all the glory. In Your name I pray. Amen. Here's a question for you. What is it that makes a good opportunity to serve the Lord Jesus in some way? What is it that makes a certain situation a good opportunity? Got you thinking, don't I? We talk about, well, I hope I have an opportunity to share with so-and-so about the Lord. Would you pray that I would have an opportunity to say something for Christ and to be able to be a good witness. What elements might go into it that make such and such a good opportunity? What are we looking for when we ask people to pray that I would have a good opportunity? You ever think about that? Are there any special ingredients that are necessary for a certain occasion to be a good opportunity? Or is it not rather this? Perhaps the truth is, there is not anything more important for an opportunity to be a good one for Christ than usability on our part. That we are just available, willing to be usable for the Lord. I'd like you to think about that. Many times we talk about certain things, and many times we say, well, you know, all the pieces have to fit in place. A good opportunity for the Lord is, well, it can't be with a lot of people around. It needs to be just quiet so that I could be over here in this quiet situation to talk with them. Is that so? Can't be anybody around. Can't be any activity going on. And you got to make sure that the person is of the right frame of mind and the person is, you know, agreeable to let you talk with them, or else that's not going to be a good opportunity for the Lord. What I'm saying is, do there have to be all kinds of things that must fall in place? Or isn't it rather, Lord, I just want to be used for you. And just help me to recognize now, as you bring opportunities my way, how to make the most of them. I want to serve you. I want to use you. You know, Joel, you're looking for a message title. Here you go, with pen in hand. Opportunities for our Lord. Opportunities for our Lord. I could not help but notice, in fact, I even wrote down on the top of my bulletin, Dick had no clue what we were going to be speaking on this evening, but here again, the Holy Spirit has orchestrated all of this. We sang the song, Have I Done My Best for Jesus? Isn't that about what have I done with the opportunities that the Lord Jesus has brought my way? And that third verse especially, when it's your own time, look at verse 3 of 406. Not now. This is my time, not yours. But verse 3 of 406 is a good one. And then a few minutes later, he talked about how, listen to this, I have decided to follow Jesus. Well, if that's the decision that one has made, you're going to be aware of those opportunities for the Lord. And that goes to say you've made that decision that I'll live for Jesus. I thought, wow, the Holy Spirit, we've already been singing about serving the Lord and using opportunities that He brings our way. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for that preparation. This is why I say, don't ever let us get into the mode that the service It's just all preliminaries. And the real service is when we get to the Word. The whole service, we trust, is being used of the Lord to work in our hearts. All right, let's look at some examples in Scripture and see if the opportunities were what we would consider good ones, perfect ones. I could see myself taking advantage of an opportunity to serve the Lord in a situation like that. Acts chapter 8. And Saul was consenting unto his death, Stephen's, and at that time there was a great persecution against the church which was at Jerusalem, and they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles and devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made a great lamentation over him. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house, hauling men and women, committed them to prison. Therefore, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. Did you see the elements of great opportunities for the Lord here? Humanly speaking, we would say, "What? That's terrible." It's a time of trials. It's a time of persecution. Those first few verses there, great persecution against the church. People are being targeted. People are being sought out, thrown in jail, hauled away because the only reason is they are a Christian. Boy, I'm not sure I want to let anybody know that I am a Christian or not. Hey, here's a question for us. Only God knows how relevant this question is and will be in our nation. The Church of Jerusalem began to experience great persecution. Believers began to be prisoners in jail. They were hauled away. Ultimately, they were uprooted. They fled for their lives. But in verse 4, what do you see that they did? What did they do? What? It says they were scattered abroad and they went everywhere preaching the word. Here's what only the Lord knows how relevant this is going to be. There's not a one of us here that knows the future except our Lord. What if in the United States of America the day comes when, whether it is ISIS, whether it is some other form of opposition who hates Christians and hates Christianity, moves into our nation, into our state, into our community, and scatters us, how ready are we going to be at that time to be talking to someone about the Lord Jesus Christest when our love for Him is what has brought on all the problems in the first place? You see, humanly speaking, we could sympathize with these believers in Jerusalem and say, you know, I wouldn't have blamed you at all for just kind of keeping quiet there for a little bit. I mean, after all, you were the targets. They came in, they sought you out, they searched you out, They drove you away from your homes and into the surrounding regions. Nobody would have thought anything of it if you would have just said, I'm going to just kind of lay low for a little while. But what do we see they did in verse 4? They did what was against nature, humanly speaking. Because they were recognizing the adversity as what? An opportunity to serve the Lord. May God help us, should that ever come to our nation. To buy up opportunities like that, like these early believers did. They did not withdraw. They did not go underground. They did not try to hide their Christianity. But they went everywhere preaching the word. Well, God preserved them and didn't allow anything to happen to them. And, that's because, no, you evidently don't know the scriptures. They went everywhere preaching the word, and you know what followed them? What followed them? Persecution. Chapter 9. Saul of Tarsus, he heard about some of those believers that had been scattered, and they were in another location. And he got authorization from the authorities, I'm going to go get those people and I'm going to bring them back. And they're going to stand trial. No, they were courageous. And they knew God's given us an opportunity to serve Him. We're not going to be quiet. We want to be faithful to our Lord. May God help us. May God help us. In spite of their extreme problems, they were faithful. Let's turn to another example, and we see, okay, let's give a good opportunity for the Lord this scenario. Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1. The context of where this letter came from, of course, the epistle of Paul, the apostle, to the Philippians, well, that's where it came from. Paul wrote it, that's right. But where was he when he wrote it? Pardon? He was in prison. Not as an evildoer, but simply because he was a Christian. Well, that's not a good place to really be a witness for the Lord, is it? Oh, or is it? I wonder how Paul did while he was in there. Did he try to hide his testimony for Christ? Let's begin at verse 12. I would. You should understand, chapter 1, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel, so that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace and in all other places. And many of the brethren in the Lord, waxing confident by my imprisonment, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. What's Paul reporting here? He's saying, get this, people. Look what God is able to do through me as I am serving the Lord and taking advantage of the opportunities here in prison. He said, many of the brethren, verse 14, they are hearing about my testimony down there in the heart of prison. They're hearing that I'm sharing the gospel, and you know what it's doing for them? It's giving them courage to speak up. They are being encouraged by the fact that I have not let circumstances silence me. The Apostle Paul, I think it's one that we could safely say, it didn't matter where he was, because he was available to the Lord. Wherever he was, he saw it as an opportunity for the Lord. And that's what I'm praying the Lord will do with our hearts through even this review of some things from some of the early believers in the church. And so Paul said, they're waxing more bold to speak the word without fear. They're watching, they're hearing, and it's encouraging many of the brethren right here in Philippi to begin to speak out. They were hesitant, but they have heard that Paul is preaching right there in prison. Look what God is doing. And they in turn are saying, well, you know, if Paul can do it there, I can do it out here. Help me, Lord. Now, Paul recognizes, verse 15, that not everything is really by the proper motives, because he says, some indeed are preaching Christ even of envy and strife. What does he mean? How can someone preach Christ out of envy and strife? He goes on and he says, the one, verse 16, they're preaching Christ of contention, not sincerely, and they are in hopes that if they start naming the name of Christ more out here, it's going to make it worse for me. They're going to add affliction to my bonds. But not everybody was like that, Paul said. Verse 15, the end of it, some are also, they're preaching, they're testifying, they're sharing Christ with their neighbors with the right motive, out of goodwill. Verse 17, out of love, knowing that I am set for the defense of the gospel. So, Paul says, what then? Notwithstanding, every way, whether it's for wrong motives or whether it's true motives, he said, the bottom line is, Christ is preached, and I therein do rejoice, yea, and will rejoice. Paul knew what it said in the book of Isaiah when the Lord said, my word shall not what? Return unto me void. That's what Paul was banking on. He said, I know some of the motives of those people. They're out there causing a commotion. They're standing on the street corners and they're naming Christ, and they are doing it in hopes that it's going to make things worse for me. But he said, the bottom line is, they're giving out God's word, whether it's for the right motive or not, and God's going to bless his word. In Acts chapter 28. Acts chapter 28. Let's notice opportunities for the Lord. When Paul was in Rome, we know that he spent time in prison in Rome, but part of that imprisonment was not in shackles in some little jail somewhere. Paul was also under house arrest. He had much more freedom. And he tells here in verse 30 of chapter 28, Paul dwelt 2 whole years in his own hired house, and received all that came in unto him, preaching
the kingdom of God and teaching those things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ with all confidence,
no man forbidding him. Yeah, he was under house arrest. He was in his own dwelling place. He couldn't leave the city. But you know what? Paul saw it as an opportunity for the Lord Jesus Christ. And so he says, for 2 years, man, I was having people coming and going, and nobody even tried to stop me. Praise God. Praise God for the opportunities. We're all familiar with the imprisonment in Acts chapter 16, aren't we, of Paul and Silas. When they were thrown in jail, they were beaten and thrown into the innermost portion of the prison. What did they do? Huh? They sang, they praised the Lord. You know what? They, with bleeding and smarting backs, by God's grace through His Spirit, because these men were available to the Lord, they saw it as an opportunity for the Lord. And so rather than just shutting their mouth and licking their wounds, so to speak, it's as if these men looked at each other and said, come on, Paul, you know any choruses? What did you learn when you were in the youth group? Let's sing some choruses. Let's sing songs. Let's praise the Lord. He spared our lives. He could have beaten us to death, but He didn't. We've got an opportunity here, and we know the results, don't we? The jailer and all the prisoners and all the household of the jailer. At least the jailer and his household came to Christ. We don't know about if any of the other prisoners. We just know that when their chains fell off at that earthquake, they did not run away. They wanted to stay and hear more about what those men had to say. Opportunities for our Lord. There was another time when Paul was in jail. And the thing that impresses us that time after time, you know, Paul was a jailbird, wasn't he? That man was always in jail. Not for anything he'd ever done wrong. But we find him in jail in the book of Philippians. We find him in jail in the book of Acts. You find him in jail in the little book of Philemon. Once again, every time it was for his testimony for Christ. When he was there in that little short one chapter book of Philemon, what did he do there? He saw it as an opportunity for the Lord. And he began to witness to this runaway slave who was also in prison, Onesimus. And what did he do to him? How did God use the Apostle Paul? He led him to the Lord, didn't he? Led him to the Lord. Are we getting the idea that what does it take to make a good opportunity for our Lord? Do they only come around once or twice a year? Are they as rare as hen's teeth? I don't think so if we are usable and available for the Lord. You know, there is a reason why this is true when God finds the willing and usable heart. And the reason is taught us in Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5, and with this we will close. Matthew chapter 5. Verse 13, what did the Lord say His followers are? What is it? Salt of what? Salt of the earth. What is salt used for? One of the main uses we use it for. To what? To preserve, that's true. But add flavor, to season something. The Lord has put us here in this world to be a seasoning agent. Yes, salt can prevent decay and this, that, and the other thing, but one of its main usages is, like even Job, is there any taste in the white of the egg? I think he's the one that said that. There isn't until you do what? Just put a little bit of salt on it, and yes, then those hard or soft-boiled eggs, they're wonderful, aren't they? Just a little bit of seasoning on there. Well, that's what the Lord has put us. This world is flat. This world needs some seasoning. And the Lord said, you're the seasoning that the world needs. Not only are we salt, what else are we in Matthew 5? We are the what? Light of the world. A world that sits in what? Darkness. The darkness of sin. And in verse 14 he said, you are the light of the world. So, as we put all this together, if we are looking for opportunities for our Lord, guess what? We're going to find them. Whether it is to add a little flavor to the conversation or to the thinking of someone, like salt adds, or to shed a little light to help someone begin to see some truth concerning their own relationship with God and what God has done for him. Perhaps you're discouraged this evening. Perhaps you're thinking, man, I just wish I had some good opportunities for the Lord. Why don't we take the challenge this evening? There are opportunities everywhere, aren't there? If we will just make ourselves more usable and let Him use us. Let's stand and be dismissed in prayer. Thank you, Father, for these truths. We thank you for these examples. Help us, Lord, not to claim and come back with, well, you know, I was just really hoping something would come out, but it just really didn't. And that opportunity really didn't lend itself. Lord, help us to be more willing, more usable, so that you might be able to use us more effectively as salt and light in this flat and dark world. In your name we pray, amen. And you are dismissed.